For those who don't know, the last 5 days I was down in Kentucky. I 18 years I've been doing this, going down to Gethsemane, the Trappist monastery down there. So I spent 5 days in silence. I don't know anybody down there, and I don't want to know anybody down there. I don't want to talk to anybody down there because they're all from Kentucky. But it was wonderful. Now these monks that are down, they fix the food. And so if you don't eat something, let's say at lunchtime, you know it's going to show up around supper time. You hardly ever get any meat down there, okay? They don't eat a lot of meat. And usually the big meals at lunchtime. So I'm going through, this is a true story. So I'm going through the, I got down there first. So I'm going through the line. I came home on Friday. So this had to be Thursday evening. And the lady who, they have a lady, she's not a monk or anything like that. She just works in the kitchen, make sure things go well. So, you can't talk even when you're eating. Nobody talks. Everything's in silence. So I come to this one thing. I said, she took the lid off. I thought, oh, God. I said, what is that? And I should have said, I didn't want to say anything. I said, what is that? And they're just really small things, and they're really flat. And she says it's a potato pancake. I said, okay. And then I love what she said. I said, well, they look okay. She says, they'd be better if they were deep fried. And I thought, oh, dear God. She's probably right, but it's just, you know how it is. And maybe you don't. There's also a house down there in New Haven, right outside the monastery there, as you're heading home. And I know it's there, so as you're driving us on the left, they have got to be the biggest UK fans. They got this huge, I'm not kidding, it could be about as big, half of this altar on their wall, UK, it's all lit up in blue and white lights. But where's the Christmas tree? Heaven's sakes. Did I tell you that? I did tell you about the Kentucky basketball team being so good this year. Did I tell you that? They're so good. You've heard. They're very good this year. The coaching staff made a decision that they're only going to dress 6 players. The rest can dress themselves. Oh, one more thing, real quick. No, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. We just heard John's gospel. This is chapter 1 of John's gospel. Last week we heard the very beginning of Mark's gospel. Do you know what we did not hear in either one of these in these gospels? There's no baby Jesus. In Mark's gospel and in John's gospel, there's no Mary pregnant. There's no angel Gabriel. There's no Bethlehem. There's no angels we have heard on high. Mark's gospel does not have that. Last week, Jesus was 30 years old. That's the very beginning of Mark's gospel. In John, written around 100, again, starts out with John the Baptist. So again, just be aware of that. If all we had in the Bible was Mark and John, there would not be Christmas. Think about that. It comes from Luke, especially Luke, and some of Matthew. All 4 of them don't have it. Okay, that wasn't a joke. If you're on Jeopardy, now you know that answer. Anyway, there are 2 ways of looking at life and God according to the reading today. One way is what we see and hear in John. The other way is what we see and hear in the priests and Levites. John, either you're a witness or you're interrogator. Okay? John, sent by God, is a witness. The priests and Levites, sent by religious authorities, are interrogators. As we see life, all they ask is, who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Why do you baptize? Interrogators, they're in the dark. They don't know. John, sent by God as a witness, he knows the light and reflects the light. So again, they don't know, they're in the dark. Witnesses talk about something they know, what they believe. John knows he is not the light. John knows he has a voice, but he's not the Word of God. John speaks the truth, but he's not the truth. John would bet his life on Jesus. And that's what witnesses do. They bet their life on what they believe. Interrogators, they demand answers. Witnesses offer hope. Offer hope. Our world, the United States, our community. We need witnesses of hope. That's what we need. We do not need any more answers, explanations, commentaries, or analysis. What we need is hope. We have enough interrogators. We need to hear the voice of the one crying out to us, "Make straight the way of the Lord." John is a voice of hope. All we need to do is look at our own lives. Look at our own lives, our own struggles, our own difficulties. Look at all, just take your own personal life. A death of a loved one, cancer, heart disease, divorce, addiction. It could be sin that separates you from God and each other. Guilt. Answers and explanations. That won't sustain us. If you've gone through a difficulty, it's like answers and explanations don't sustain us. Words of hope, words of healing will. My sister Julie, would be Hannah's mother, died in August of 2011. On her death certificate, it will say that she died of rectal cancer, anal cancer, terrible disease. When she was diagnosed with it, they thought it would be rather simple. And they did, because in early stages of it. But Julie went to see the oncologist, a wonderful person, and she refused chemotherapy. Why? Because of her mental illness. It was terrible. And there's no way that I could have interceded for her, having talked to the mental health people. Julie was capable of making her own decisions. But had she had chemo, more than likely, along with radiation therapy, she would have been okay. The point is, what I'm saying is that it's hard for me to accept that. And I can have all these questions about the mental health system or about the doctors or whatever it may be. But the point is, that was not going to sustain Tom Kessler. It hurt for me to have to bury my sister Julie and to see Hannah go through this. But what sustained me truly was people who cared, words of hope, words of healing, not about mental illness. That's another whole issue, another whole story. But the pain that people go through, and all of us have that. What sustains us are words of hope and healing, no matter what you've gone through. Hope is what we have. Hope does not make life any easier, but it makes life possible. Hope does not make life easier, but we have possibilities. Hope reminds us that there's always something beyond this. There's always new life and new possibilities out there. The interrogators of our world, it's difficult for us to hear words of hope because they're so loud, and we don't hear the words of hope. The voice that we need to listen to, the voice that we hear, is the voice we will speak. If we hear words of hope, we will speak words of hope. We have to become a witness or an interrogator. Hope is not easy. We have to practice hope. And Paul tells us that in our second reading. When he says, pray, he says here, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Practice that daily. We become the people of hope. Interrogators want answers, justifications, and reasons. Witnesses look beyond that. They look beyond what has happened. Yes, life is messy, but there's still hope. Hope is not a feeling. It's an orientation. It's the attitude of our life. It's the way we see things. It's the way we see. We allow that to take place, to recognize and to know Christ in this. Hope does not change the circumstances. Julie died. Hope doesn't change that circumstance. But what hope does, it changes me. It changes us. And that changes everything when we have hope. It changes everything. The third week of Advent, again, light your own Advent candle, be the Advent candle, and be a witness to hope.